This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Michael Orthodox Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures and to day 189 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is July 8. So Haman's plot was discovered and thwarted. Esther was able to save her people. For Haman, the following proverb certainly came true. He who digs a pit for his neighbor shall fall into it, and he who rolls a stone rolls it upon himself. We will finish the book of Esther today. Let's begin. Esther chapter 8 verses 12a through chapter 10 verses 3k. The following is a copy of the letter. The great king Artaxerxes to the governors of the provinces in the 127 satrapies from India to Ethiopia and to the faithful to our interests. Greetings. Many of those who have been frequently honored in the great kindness of their benefactors have become high-minded. Not only do they seek to do harm to our subjects, but being unable to bear such a measure, they undertake to plot against their own benefactors. Not only do they drive out gratitude from among men, but also being puffed up by those who are unacquainted with goodness, they suppose they will escape the vengeance of the all-seeing God. And often, many of those who have been appointed to positions of authority, being entrusted to manage the affairs of friends and having been given a position of authority as an encouragement, have become accessories to the shedding of innocent blood. And they have involved them in circumstances without remedy by deceiving with false arguments the benign kindness of the rulers. And it is possible to observe this, not so much from examining the ancient traditions, as by your learning from the wicked deeds accomplished in your midst by the pestilential influence of those unworthy of holding power. We must be on guard for the future, that we may maintain the kingdom undisturbed and peaceful for all the people, making the most of changes and always judging fairly in the matters coming to our attention. Thus, Haman, the son of Hammedatha, a Macedonian, certainly not of Persian blood, but differing greatly from our kindness and having been hospitably received by us, received such a large share of the benevolence which we have for all peoples that he was even publicly proclaimed to be our father, reverenced by all. He attained the rank of second to the royal throne, but unable to bear his dignity, he endeavored to deprive us of our kingdom and our life. And by very twisted methods of deception, he demanded the destruction of our deliverer and constant benefactor Mordecai and Esther, the blameless consort of our kingdom, together with their whole race. For through these ways, he expected to catch the nation of the Persians undefended and to guide the Macedonians to victory. However, we find that the Jews, who have been consigned to destruction by this terribly wicked man, are not criminals, but live by most just laws. We find them to be children of the Most High, Most Mighty Living God, who has guided the kingdom both for us and our forefathers in the most excellent manner. Therefore, you will do well to disregard the letter sent by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, because he who has produced these has been hanged at the gates of Susa along with his whole household. For God Almighty, who rules over all things, swiftly rendered a just judgment on him. Therefore, post a copy of this document publicly in every place, making it known that the Jews are to follow their own customs and join in supporting them, so that on the day set for their destruction, the 13th day of the 12th month Adar, they may defend themselves against those who would attack them. For God, who holds power over all things, has made this a day of gladness for them instead of a day of the destruction of a chosen race. Therefore, celebrate this outstanding day among your named feasts with all rejoicing, so that both now and in the future it may be deliverance for us and for the well-inclined Persians and for those who plot destruction against us as a remembrance of destruction. And every city or province whatsoever which shall not act in accordance with these things shall be mercilessly destroyed with spear and fire. It shall be made impassable not only to men, but even to wild animals and birds forever. Let copies of the decree be posted conspicuously throughout the kingdom, and let all the Jews be ready on that day to fight against those who oppose them. So horsemen were sent out quickly to carry out the king's commands, and the decree was also posted in Susa. Then Mordecai went out robed in royal raiment, having a gold crown and a diadem of fine purple linen, and seeing him, the people of Susa rejoiced, and there was light and gladness for the Jews in every city and province where the decree was published, where the proclamation was posted. There was joy and gladness among the Jews, feasting and good cheer, and many of the Gentiles were circumcised and lived in the Jewish way because of fear of the Jews. Now, in the 12th month, on the 13th day of the month of Adar, the decree written by the king arrived. On that day, those in opposition were destroyed by the Jews. For fearing them, no one resisted. For the leaders of the satraps, the sovereigns, and the royal scribes honored the Jews, and the fear of Mordecai weighed on them. For the order of the king had come down that Mordecai should be acknowledged throughout the kingdom. And in the city of Susa, the Jews killed 500 men. These included Parshandatha, Dalphon, Aspatha, Paratha, Adelia, Aridatha, Parmashta, Arisei, Aridei, and Vajazatha, the 10 sons of Haman, son of Hamadatha, the enemy of the Jews. They ravaged them. On that day, the number of those killed in Susa was reported to the king. Then the king said to Esther, "The Jews have killed 500 men in the city of Susa. How do you think they have made out in the surrounding lands? What more do you yet desire, so that it will be done for you?" Esther said to the king, "Let the Jews be granted the opportunity to do the same tomorrow in order to hang the sons of Haman." And he permitted this to be done. And he set out for the Jews of the city the bodies of the sons of Haman to hang. Then the Jews gathered together in Susa on the 14th of Adar and killed 300 men, but they plundered nothing. The rest of the Jews throughout the kingdom assembled and came to the aid of one another, and they had rest from their enemies, for they killed 15,000 of them on the 13th of Adar, but they plundered nothing. Then they rested on the 14th of that month and observed it as a day of rest with joy and gladness. And the Jews in the city of Susa also gathered together on the 14th, but did not rest from their enemies, but they observed the 15th with joy and gladness. This is why the Jews scattered in every foreign land observed the 14th of Adar with gladness as a holiday, sending parcels to their neighbors, but those living in the major cities keep the 15th of Adar as a holiday, sending parcels to their neighbors. Mordecai wrote these things in a book and sent it to all the Jews in the kingdom of Artaxerxes, to those both near and far, to establish these days as holidays and to observe both the 14th and 15th day of Adar. For on these days the Jews had rest from their enemies. Thus Adar is the month which was turned from mourning into joy and from grief into a holiday, to celebrate the whole time with feasting and gladness, sending parcels to friends and to the poor. The Jews accepted everything just as Mordecai wrote to them, how Haman the son of Hamadatha the Macedonian warred against them, how he had made a decree and cast lots to exterminate them, how he had gone to the king telling him to hang Mordecai, and how all the evils he plotted against the Jews came upon himself, and how he was hanged, he and his children. Therefore these days were called Purim, on account of the lots, because in their language they are called Pur, because of the words of this letter, and because of all they had suffered on account of these things, and all that had happened to them. Mordecai established it, and the Jews took it upon themselves, their descendants, and upon those joining with them not to do otherwise, and these days are to be a memorial throughout every generation and city and family and province. Thus these days of Purim shall be observed forever, and their remembrance shall not cease in any generation. Then Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote down the many things they had done, and the truthfulness of the command of Purim. And Mordecai and Queen Esther established it for themselves, establishing it at that time according to their soundness of mind and their purpose. Esther established it by a command forever, and it was written for a memorial. And the king levied tribute upon his kingdom both by land and sea, and his power and valor, the riches and the glory of his kingdom, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Persia and Media for a memorial. And Mordecai was next to King Artaxerxes, and he was great in the kingdom, and honored by the Jews, and being beloved, he set forth in detail the way of life to all his people. And Mordecai said, "These things were from my God, for I recall the dream which I had concerning these things, and not one detail of them has failed. There was a small spring that became a river. There was light and the sun and much water. The river is Esther, whom the king married and made queen. The two serpents are Haman and I. The nations are the Gentiles gathering together to destroy the name of the Jews. And my nation, which cried out to God and was delivered, is Israel. For the Lord has saved his people, and the Lord has rescued us from all these evils. And God performed signs and great wonders, which have not happened among the Gentiles. On account of this, he made two lots, one for the people of God and one for the Gentiles. And these two lots came in the hour and in the time and in the day of judgment before God and among all the Gentiles. And God remembered his people and vindicated his inheritance. And they shall observe these days in the month of Adar, the 14th and 15th day of that month. They shall gather together with joy and gladness before God throughout all generations forever among his people Israel. In the fourth year of the reign of Ptolemy and Cleopatra, Dositheus, who said he was a priest and a Levite, and Ptolemy his son, brought in the letter of Purim, which they declared existed, and that Lysimachus, the son of Ptolemy, who was in Jerusalem, had translated it. Psalm 9, verses 1 through 17. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wondrous things. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemy turns backward, they shall be feeble and perish before your face. For you maintain my judgment and my right. You sit upon the throne, judging in righteousness. You rebuke the nations, and the ungodly man destroys himself. You blotted out their name in their lifetime and unto ages of ages. The swords of the enemy are completely forsaken, and you pulled down their cities. Their memory was destroyed with a noise, but the Lord abides forever. He prepared his throne in judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall judge the peoples in uprightness. The Lord is also a refuge for the poor man, a helper in seasons of affliction. And let those who know your name put their hope in you, for you, O Lord, do not forsake those who seek you. Sing to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Proclaim his dealings among the nations, for he who avenges blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the poor. Have mercy on me, O Lord, and see how my enemies have humbled me. you who raised me up from the gates of death, that I may proclaim all your praises. In the gates of the daughter of Zion I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations are trapped in the destruction they caused. Their foot is caught in the trap they hid. The Lord is known in the judgments he makes. The sinner is caught in the works of his hands. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 30 through 35. For it shall be, when you shall call upon me, I will not listen to you. Evil men will seek me, but not find me, for they hate wisdom, and choose not the fear of the Lord. Neither do they wish to follow my counsels, but despise my reproofs. Therefore they shall eat the fruits of their own way, and be filled with their own ungodliness. For since they wrong the simple, they shall be killed, and a close examination shall destroy the ungodly. But he who obeys me shall dwell in hope, and shall be at rest without fear from every evil. Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had through many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath." In our New Testament reading today, we see the first major council of the church. Paul and Barnabas have been teaching and preaching to the Gentiles. Some of the apostles had heard about this and had questions, so Paul and Barnabas returned to Jerusalem to speak to those who were apostles before them and other leaders of the early Christian church. There were even Pharisees there, Pharisees that had become Christians. They couldn't understand how a person could become a Christian without becoming a Jew first. This was new territory for them, and there was a big dispute at the council. Then Peter spoke, Peter being chief of the apostles. Then Paul and Barnabas shared about their ministry to the Gentiles and how God was working with them. And then it was James who spoke. This is James, the brother of the Lord, a relative of Jesus, probably a child of Joseph. James the apostle and brother of John had already been martyred. This James, known as the brother of the Lord, is the main bishop of Jerusalem, and he makes a final statement about the matter, bringing it to the council for a conclusion. We'll see tomorrow the letter that is written to the Gentiles from this council. This passage is so important because in it we see the workings of the early church, that it is conciliar. Even though Peter is the chief apostle, he is not the main bishop of Jerusalem. That's James. And even though James is the bishop of Jerusalem, he doesn't make decisions by himself, but in council. This is the way the church has continued to understand its approach to church government. We are a conciliar church, and in a way, we follow the pattern of the Trinity, who is also conciliar. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our individual churches as well are conciliar. We work together, and although we have a pastor, he doesn't make all decisions by himself, but in council, we do what is best for the community. Even the family structures this way, with parents acting in council rather than one person making all decisions. So this first council in Jerusalem is very important, not only for the development of the church, but also for our life in the church today. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You have been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. For more information about the ministries of St. Michael Orthodox Church, please visit OrthodoxKY.com. That's OrthodoxKY.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.